From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the Marine Stewardship Council is optimistic the big salmon packers will be welcomed back into the fold, but will it be in time for this year's catch to be certified? A ship most fishermen never wanted to see will soon be going to the bottom itself. And good news, there was crab at Crab Fest this year. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Kodiak Island Borough Assembly has added its voice to those communities, tribes, and other organizations opposing summer maneuvers by the U.S. Navy in the Gulf of Alaska. Before the 4-2 vote on Thursday night, the Assembly heard a presentation by Emily Slarstick of the EAC Preservation Council in Cordova. She said while it's true naval training in the Gulf has happened before, it hasn't happened on this scale.
They were held off in 2012 and 2013 by NRDC, and then they didn't happen in 2014 because of sequestration. So this is the last year, and so understandably the Navy really would like to do these trainings.
Slarstick appealed to the Assembly's desire to protect fisheries in her argument against the summer training.
No one is saying don't train. Everybody understands the need for training. But what we're saying is that the timing of this training, to have it start June 15, when we really have millions of salmon migrating through this area to their streams, to their rivers, that is really poor timing. We'd like to actually see it move to a different time of year that doesn't coincide with any fishing season. And we'd also like to see them moved 200 miles offshore.
One of the dissenting votes came from Assemblyman Aaron Griffin. At the end of the meeting, Griffin, who said he served in the Air Force in Alaska, explained his vote.
We bombed the crap out of interior Alaska. You know, the environmental impact of that, I no doubt. But I wanted my pilots to be ready to rock and roll when Russia decided that we were going to be like the Ukraine. And that is really what the Navy is looking to do. They are preparing for what happens if things don't go so well in the Arctic.
Assemblyman Larry Ledoux also voted against the resolution, which passed 4-2. In addition to asking the Navy to postpone its Gulf training until after the middle of September, it asked that the Navy not use live ordnance or sonar in protected marine areas. The large salmon processors who left the Marine Stewardship Council certification umbrella 3 years ago and are now seeking to return have so far gotten the cold shoulder from the Alaska Salmon Processors Association, the current certification holder for most of the state's salmon fisheries. But the MSC itself would welcome them back, says Brian Perkins, the new regional director for the Americas.
First off, we're delighted that they're interested in coming back. We certainly would love to have the entire salmon fishery certified and have more MSC product out in the marketplace. There is more demand for it.
When the big packers, Trident, Peter Pan, Icicle, Ocean Beauty, North Pacific, and Alaska General Leader Creek sought to share in the ASPA certification, they indicated a desire to join in time for this year's catch to be certified. Alaska Salmon Processors Association said they were busy getting ready to fish and would talk to them in September. As for how the timeline might shake out, Perkins says he's just as in the dark as the rest of us.
I wish I had a crystal ball and I could answer that question. At this point, really, it's between the existing client group and the group that wants to come back into certification. So MSC has very little control over that. So once a company receives a certificate, that is, in essence, their certificate. And so when another group wants to come into that certificate, there is a commercial negotiation that is undergone. We would love to see an agreement between the existing client group and those companies that want to come back into MSC certification. I would love to think that could happen in time for the 2015 catch, which is a stretch at this point, but still possible.
If the processors do get back under MSC's umbrella, Perkins says there's no reason they couldn't keep the Alaska Seafood Marketing Association's Responsible Fisheries Management certification.
We're not opposed to RFM. We believe in choice. in choice in the marketplace and choice of the processors. I personally would envision at some point, even from the start, that a company like Trident, for instance, might be selling some of their product with as MSC certified. They might be selling other product as RFM because it's all they need. They might be selling other product as with both labels on it. And that's really dependent upon what the market wants and what's effective for them as marketers.
But even if the big salmon packers can't reach a deal with the Alaska salmon processors, they can still seek their own separate sustainability certification. But Perkins said that would take more money and wouldn't be done in time for this year's fisheries.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
When visitors dropped by Kodiak's annual Crab Festival last weekend, they expected to see, buy, and pig out on crab. Generally, any kind of crab will do as long as there is crab. Well, the crab industry may not be the bustling market of Kodiak's yesteryear, but the crustaceans still made an appearance at the Memorial Day weekend 2015. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche has more.
An employee at the Pickled Willie's booth gathers up crab legs and dumps them into boiling water. Jeremy Abina does marketing and sales for Pickled Willie's. He says there are a variety of crab types with different flavors, but they're selling golden king crab this year.
It's saltier, but it's bigger sections, so people get a little more return on their crack. I would say most people prefer the snow crab, the tanner crab, the barred eye. It's all the same thing, just different names. Most of the locals prefer that because it's a sweeter crab. It's not as salty, but it's not as big. So, you know, you got to take your taste versus your return on your crack.
Co-owner Barbara Hughes says all they do is reheat the crab for 4 minutes and serve it out steamy and warm with one important side dish.
Everybody wants butter, tons of butter. Not really any cocktail sauce, just tons of butter.
Abina says a crab leg weighs about a half pound, and they charge $20 per pound. He says they shipped their weekend supply in from Accutane, where the crab was caught a little more than a week ago. NOAA crab biologist Pete Comiskey says king crab fishing used to be a thriving industry in Kodiak.
At one time, it was called the king crab capital of the world, back in the 60s and into the 70s, and then the crab populations around 1982 around Kodiak and all around Alaska kind of crashed, and they have not recovered sufficiently in Kodiak to have a crab season since 1982.
He says there are a lot of theories, overfishing, disease, but little evidence for any one reason king crab numbers shrunk.
The population went down throughout the entire range of king crab, throughout Alaska and over into Russian waters and down into British Columbia waters, which kind of points more to a broad environmental kind of cause or factors that contributed as opposed to localized fishing.
Trevor Brown is the executive director of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, which organizes Crab Fest. He says a few years ago, the festival relied on St. Mary's Catholic Parish and school booth for its crab needs. One local fisherman donated annually before he retired.
Once he sold out of his shares of crab, he obviously wasn't able to donate that anymore. So we did have 1 year where we did not have crab at Crab Festival, and I believe that was 3 years ago.
Unless you know someone or you are someone who fishes for crab, the Kodiak Crab Festival is one of the few opportunities for residents to grab this iconic type of seafood so recently hauled up from the icy depths. In Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
A legendary Western Alaska salvage vessel has reached the end of its useful life. Salvager Dan McGone is getting ready to sink his old tugboat, the Redeemer. And as Annie Ropeek reports, it means he's also getting ready for the next phase of his own storied career.
These days, even getting onto the Redeemer is a bit of an adventure. The tug is separated from the dock in Dutch Harbor by two other Dan McGone projects, old vessels in disrepair.
So I guess the only place to cross is right here.
McGowan is finding a tricky path out to the boat where he built his career. The Redeemer had its last mission in 2013, when the crab boat Arctic Hunter went aground outside Unalaska. Now the tug is past its prime. It's littered with remnants of old jobs, wood pallets, rusty scrap metal, an old National Geographic in the wheelhouse, all waiting for a proper send-off.
I spent a lot of the last 25 years on this boat. Lots of days and nights, lots of adventures.
The Redeemer was built in World War II and then became an oil drilling mud ship off the Gulf Coast. In the 1980s, McGowan says a company heading to the Nome Goldfields took it on. They wrecked it on the sand dunes there, and it stayed put for almost a decade.
During that time, I saw it over there, and people suggested it'd make a great boat for me. And I told them, no, it would probably cost me $100,000 to get it off the sand dunes and get it to Dutch.
Instead, he says the boat wound up with loggers from Sitka. They patched it up and headed south, but wound up abandoning the ship in Sand Point.
And then it sank at the dock. And so everywhere it goes, it's leaving people with their head in their hands, right?
Meanwhile, McGowan had just paid millions to set up his floating Dutch Harbor office and was losing local business to shorter fishing seasons. He saw a new opportunity in the stranded boat. He rebuilt it for cheap with scraps from his own yard. The yellow-green hull was painted a bright blue, and McGowan renamed the boat Redeemer. He says its first job was hauling horses, dogs, hay, and cowboys to the other side of Unalaska Island to start the Chernofsky Cattle Ranch.
And so we did all manner of anything all over the Bering Sea and the Aleutian Islands, Alaska Peninsula, and we managed to survive. We managed to find enough work to keep going.
Over the next two decades, he says the Redeemer was part of
almost every significant salvage job in western Alaska.
From the small, like stranded barges and fishing boats, to the huge, deadly groundings and oil spills on the Kuroshima and Celandang cargo ships, and the capsizing of the Cougar Ace. All those accidents, plus the Exxon Valdez spill, helped usher in new environmental protection and safety standards. By 2013, McGowan says the Redeemer couldn't keep up, and work on its replacement was just as pricey.
It eventually cost so much that I just had to sell the company.
That sale to Resolve Marine International went through last year, and the Redeemer has been taking up valuable space in their new shop. Shipping it out as scrap isn't cost-effective, so McGowan is asking the federal government for permission to scuttle the boat. Back on its deck, he says that'll mean cleaning it out, setting up explosives, and sinking it at a mile-deep spot north of Unalaska Island. He's been allowed to sink ships there in the past.
See, all this equipment, the winches and the cranes, all the hydraulic lines and stuff, that all comes off. There can't be any loose debris in or on the boat.
Increasing regulations have made scuttling harder, too, but McGowan is confident this one will happen in the next couple of months. He's already taken the ship's bell from the wheelhouse.
Otherwise, it's just something, just another piece of metal, might be worth something to somebody, you know. But that one's, I don't want to sell.
His new workboat, the McCushion Bay, is visible outside the window, built for the future, but the same blue as the Redeemer. McGowan says it marks the start of a new era, and the Redeemer's scuttling will be the end of another.
The old days, the seat of your pants, you know, just go out and get her done type of thing, those days are gone, you know, with all the regulations and oversight. And it's not the world that we were able to operate in. That world is past now.
The world where McGowan was a cowboy too, like the ones he once took for a ride on the Redeemer. In Unalaska, I'm Annie Ropeek.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported, in part, by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
That's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak, and Annie Ropeek, late of KUCB on Alaska. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.